I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in our flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Gabriel?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Megan?
Here.
Boyle?
Here. Okay, first up on our agenda, we have the regular meeting, the minutes of the regular meeting of October 5.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? I do have one. On the first page, you have at the very bottom, at this time, Mayor McDonald deviated from the council. I believe that should actually be on page 6, where we have the where we reopen the audience portion. Did I? Oh, okay. Excuse me. I just looked at that and thought that because we did it later. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Mr. Taylor, do you want to discuss the Borough Pool financial information before we discuss anything in particular? Hoping that will answer your questions ahead of time.
I wanted to make sure council understood the document that I gave them. Let me just get in front of me here.
Yep.
Excuse me. The document you're looking at is tweaked, if you will, based on the information given to council earlier this year by the former rec director. The 2009 numbers you see represent the dollar amounts that were presented to council by Gary. I believe it was in March or April. The 2010 numbers reflect the actual pool season only. This is the only pool that you see in front of you. The numbers in front of you represent expenditures, not necessarily expenditures from the recreation account. There are capital expenditures, there are trust expenditures, there are current expenditures. So the document making reference to expenditures can come from any of those accounts. Excuse me. With two exceptions, I had to recreate the 2009 numbers and re-verify them. The two exceptions were the ones that Councilman Higgins emailed today, the well pump repair costs for 2009, as well as the CPO courses for 2009. All of the other expenditures associated with 2009 were verified, with the exception of those. So for purposes of 2009, if council chooses to, they can change the $69,000 loss to a $61,000 loss if you pull out those two expenditures from 2009. Okay. For 2010, the only presumption is the well pump repair. That is based on the assumption that everything is staying as is and the pool is opening next year. If everything is staying as is and the pool is opening, we'll need to expend the $12,000 for the well pump repair. If council decides not to open the pool, the net loss indicated in the bottom right of your sheet would be reduced by $12,000. Okay? So that would mean that the 2010 numbers came from the daily information collected by the recreation department, the daily information collected by the pool staff, as well as information that's reconciled monthly by the finance department. So for 2010, if you take the well pump out of the mix, the loss at the pool was $30,365.84. If you decide to open the pool next year, the total loss for 2010 will be increased by $12,000. To $42,365.84. It's a little easier for me to explain that in person than try and put it in writing. So I wanted to make sure you understood what you were reading.
Any other discussion on that in particular?
Yeah, that's contingent upon repairing that this year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's coming out of the capital improvement fund. It's not coming out of current money.
Okay, so the $6,500 for last year is unbearable.
There was no expenditure made. There was no capital expenditure made for $6,500 last year. It would have had to been approved by council via ordinance. That was not done. So there was a few minor repairs, minor plumbing repairs, a couple hundred dollars, nothing major. The $6,500 was requested by Gary. It never came to fruition, so it was never expended from the capital improvement fund.
And the $1,000 for the...
There were supposed to have two people go last year to receive CPO certification. They didn't go. Gary took on all the responsibility himself as a CPO. This year we had to send one.
So where do these numbers come from then?
Which numbers?
The $1,000 and the $6,500. Is this what...
Those are the two I can't verify. Gary's not here. He's no longer employed. I have no idea where those numbers come from. Even if you take those numbers out of the mix altogether.
I understand that, but if they can't be verified, why were they even in the report?
Again, I called and I left him a message. I've heard no response.
Did Gary do this report?
Gary did the 2009 numbers, yes. I had to go back and verify them all this year when I paired them up next to the 2010. The numbers you see before you in 2009 were, I mean, aside from the format, it's formatted a little different, but this is what Gary presented to council earlier this year.
Anything else on the pool information? Any discussion on any other of the...
I have a question again, getting back to the, not the 6,500, so then why did it go from 6,500 to 12,000?
Based on the estimates I've received, it's anywhere between $8,000 and $12,000 per repair. In fact, I'm meeting someone there this week again.
So did it jump that high because it wasn't done in 2009 and things have gotten worse, or...?
I can't say definitively. My guess is the number that Gary put in was for a repair, not a replacement.
Okay.
So it won't even... Last year, it actually ran. This year, it won't even run.
Okay.
We think it needs to be replaced in its entirety.
Okay, so that's why it's double.
That's correct.
If there's anything else you want to discuss, that's fine, as long as there's nothing else on the pool.
Nothing else.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I do. I have one other thing. There's bills on the bills list tonight for the concession stand that equal $815, I believe. Is that included in that number?
No. Actually, excuse me, yes, it was. We did this before we created the last bill list. The ones on tonight's bill list we accounted for prior. When we sat down and went over, we went over all open purchase orders and final amounts that we needed to account for even before they were placed on the bill list. So, yes.
Okay. I just have one other question. If these two numbers are wrong, how do we know the other numbers are right?
You know what? Look at it this way. If the borough did not have a pool at all, ever, and 2010 was the first year you had a pool, you lost $30,000.
That's not the question I asked. I said if
I went back and I verified all of them. The only ones I couldn't find were those two, and I asked the CFO to look at it as well, and she reviewed it as well.
Anything else on the pool? Mrs. Glibby, you had something on the RFPs.
Well, no, I thought you had asked for all the correspondence, so...
Well, yeah, we're doing all the correspondence
okay.
at once, but I just knew that would be
okay.
one of the ones with questions.
I guess it's a question. With the new policy that we're going to do for the professional, do we need to... first of all, if John wasn't able to meet, he had a couple of guests in the family, but he and I met to go over the... policy for evaluating professionals, and I'll talk about that later in my council remarks. But given that we're going to go out for the RFPs again, Ms. Dave and I were wondering if, do you need, does that need to, like, be mentioned in the proposals at all, that we have this new policy where we're evaluating professionals, or?
I don't think you do.
No, I mean, that's something that during the interview process, it can be made as a contingency of accepting employment. If it's offered to you, you must undergo an annual performance.
All right. Then, I mean, I don't know as far as the, you know, the cost, how council wants to proceed. I mean, I think my recommendation would be to do the League of Municipalities for the $95, because it's for the whole month of November, and you might reach more people, but that's open to discussion with everyone. But concerned citizens, Bob reached out to me. He was helping get some information on ways to advertise that would be free, and he contacted the Warren County Bar Association, and they do offer that service for free. And I tried calling the president myself twice. I left two messages, but he's a lawyer. He was in court every time I called. So, but I'm going to ask the manager if you could look into the Warren and Huntington County Bar Association to see if they would perhaps advertise in whatever method they do. Apparently, it is done, and it is for free. So,
Just to clarify, advertise the entire notice, or just for a particular field?
Well, I guess in that case, it would just be all the attorneys. So okay. You know, the
and that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I send them the right.
It would be everyone but the engineer. That's the tax appeal attorney, redevelopment attorney, borough attorney, bond attorney, and then one other thing with regards to the proposals for engineers is, and I learned this as a result of looking at the RFPs and talking with you. I've been under the assumption that we had a retainer with the engineer, and we don't have a retainer with the engineer. I'm wondering, is that something that we should possibly put out in the RFPs to ask if they would also offer a retainer fee? And if not, could I just find out what is covered, currently falls under the general engineering contract?
It should be. Nothing has changed from 09 to 10, but I'll email you Andrew's 2010 proposal so you can see what it is.
No, I have both proposals, and I even have one of them with me here, but nowhere does it tell you in here. He just tells you things that they worked on to date and, notable projects.
I'm sorry, which one are you looking at? 10 or 11?
I have this basically the same for
both.
Doesn't actually have the section that tells you what would score under a general contract. Just so what we know, you know, for example, what we've got running into with the grant applications, I just assumed it was fell under the retainer, and we don't have a retainer.
No, we don't have one. There's no retainer with the engineer.
I don't know if we should have a retainer with the engineer, or I don't know.
That would be a council decision that can be negotiated during the interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll get a detailed description on his 11 now.
Okay.
But again, anything you're bringing up can always be addressed during the interview process.
Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, the only thing I have is if council wants to expend any further money for
advertising. I agree with you with the League of Municipalities. I think that would be the most targeted publication that we could go to where we get the best response potentially from. So, I mean, is that what council would like to do, or do you just want to go?
I mean, I withdrew my motion last meeting, so I don't know. Do I make another motion?
If you want to go for the League publication, yes, make the motion.
Okay, I want to make a motion that we go out for RFPs again and advertise with the New Jersey League of Municipalities.
Sir,
any discussion on that?
Yeah, just. It's still going to follow the same timeline we have written on this memo?
If we're going back out, that timeline has to be adhered
whether
to.
Whether or not we get any more RFPs or anything like that, timeline is what we have.
There's nothing precluding council from interviewing anyone who submitted in round one now. You can do that now, and then this will consider round two, if you will, and then you can address round two accordingly. There's no point in losing a month in the interview process unless you want to. I mean, you're welcome to do, I mean, you can wait till November and then do it all at once. That's your call. That's council's decision for the interviews. But, yes, if we go out for a second round, depending on what comes in round two, that timeline must be adhered to in order to get everything prepared for reorg.
So when you mention round one, it's just what we have in hand now.
That's
would
correct.
Be considered the round one.
That's
we should
correct.
We should interview that to get that out of the way so we keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's council's decision.
We could, but I would just say let's do that after the election, since we will have new members of council, and we can include them in on the interviews at that point.
That's fine.
All right, do you want...
Really, they'll be the ones making, helping to make the decision.
Okay.
That'll be a special, that'll be, no.
Council will have to hold a special meeting.
Yeah, right.
Closed session.
Closed session.
Meetings, depending on how many you need.
Any other discussion on Mrs. Kaliba's motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We didn't vote on the receiving and filing of correspondence, did we? Okay, we have the motion to receive and file the correspondence. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to the audience portion of the meeting. At this point, I'd open it up to the audience for remarks, petitions, statement, and testimony from guests that is not on the agenda. Just come on up to the podium, give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Krista Black, and I would like to rebuttal the decision made by the town council.
Mrs. Black, could you get the mic a little closer to you? Some of the members of the audience.
Oh, I'm nervous.
That's okay.
That's why I'm standing here.
Okay.
Yeah, which was on the meeting on October 5th regarding my neighbor, Tom Taylor, who is here in the audience. The council...
Being as Mr. Valentine is a neighbor.
Yeah. Okay, you approved him to install a fence, which is on borough property. We have borough property between both residences. Now, when we inquired, my neighbor Sally, if the alley was for sale, we were told it wasn't at the time. But I guess Mr. Taylor is in the process of purchasing the alley.
That is my understanding, yes.
And he installed a fence on Saturday, which we didn't know nothing about. And it impacts us because, you know, our properties, well, it's actually borough property, but it adjoins our properties, but it affects us. But I mean, he put a lock on it, which I guess he had told an officer Merrill that as long as emergency vehicles had access to it, that it was okay. But I don't see how emergency vehicles can have access to it if there's a lock on it. And I mean, we can't repair a fence or anything. And the parking issue, I believe, is solely because there's mounds of firewood in the on the borough property. There's mounds of firewood, and this is why there's a parking issue, because instead of him putting his vehicles there, the firewood, it's abundant, which could also create mice to our residents. But it's also, like, when cars are going down Route 57, they throw cigarette butts, which, with this big mound of firewood, we're afraid that it's going to create a fire. And, I mean, I've had the zoning officer out there. Nobody does nothing. What am I to do?
I will start off with Mr. Cushing, I guess. Do you have any input on this?
Let me just get a little more factual background, maybe from Rich.
Sure.
The firewood and the borough property, or on the private property?
I'm actually not sure.
My question was this. Is the firewood on the borough property, or is it on private property?
It's on the borough property. No.
Just so you're aware.
I have pictures.
Route 57.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yes.
Why don't you hand them out? That might be helpful.
At some point, there was a road going to go off of 57 to the alley, the corner of 57. and grand.
I'll let Steve fix your first.
Mayor.
I got some stuff too. Okay.
Is this accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Now, these came from Mr. Taylor back in the summer.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know, council wants to see this as well as, you know, what's going on here. I don't know if you want to come up or if you want to...
But we'll let you...
All right, just so I understand, so, and Rich, maybe you can explain to me, where's the borough?
This is 57 Avenue.
Right.
This is the alley, Grand is here. This parcel here is borough. It's an undeveloped road with an apron on 57. At some point, it was going to be paved.
Is that where the car is?
Yes. So pretty much, this section here, two lanes all the way through, from 57 to the alley, is borough property. Now, both property owners have been using.
This is my property from Lake Sherover to this is borough.
I don't know if you recall, what was it, probably 6 or 8 months ago, Mr. Taylor, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Taylor approached the borough saying, hey, I'm interested in purchasing the property. The borough council reviewed, I'm sorry, were you gonna, the borough council reviewed his request and said, if you're not opposed to it, get an appraisal, get a title search, and it'll be revisited. That's where it is now. The way, it's a non-conforming piece of property that all the contiguous property owners would, of course, have an opportunity to purchase once the title search is complete. That's where we are now. Flash forward a few months, at our last meeting is when Mr. Taylor came in and sought approval of the banks.
Okay.
Because of what miles?
Yep.
But to answer your question, yes, all of this is on borough property.
Including the wood pile.
Yes.
Yeah, this is... Well, I would have to actually... I mean, it's...
Well, there's... Yeah, I mean...
So you're probably...
I mean, the thing is, this is the mound, and I think he's actually added to it.
But the point is, it's on public property, so at least now the attorney can get a visual of where the area is. He can comment on it now.
Yeah, and the, I mean, the problem we're having is...
Well, you want to tell the council, make sure you tell the council, because they're the decision makers, so you might want to explain it to them.
The problem that we're having is all this firewood is like behind the thing. And instead of them parking their vehicles up here in this part, they're parking them here, which makes it difficult for my husband to get his big truck there, you know, because this is where they are presently parking. All this is my house right here. This, I mean, I would say that maybe this firewood is 2 feet from my house. In the township, you don't put firewood, you know, near a residence. Because, I mean, I haven't seen mice, but I've seen, like, just the spiders. I mean, this stuff has been there. It was like a year in May. And instead of doing anything with this firewood, he just leaves it. My question is, why can he not do something instead of storing firewood? Park your vehicles up here. But the thing is, in order for us, this is our fence, which this wood is actually right up against. We can't even go on the other side to do any repairs to our fence. Because he put the gate right here, which now has a lock on it. Yes, I mean, that's my biggest thing. Before the alley, you know, does go to sale with Mr. Taylor, I want you to do an impact study. I mean, I have called a year ago, I had the code enforcer out, nothing is ever done. I mean, I don't know about you, but, I mean, it's dangerous because cars going by, they throw cigarette butts. Out in front of our houses, you see many cigarette butts. If a cigarette butt gets in this firewood, it's going up in flames, and it is next to both of our residences.
Do we have any ordinances that would cover anything like that?
So, let me ask a couple of questions here. Your complaint is, number one, about the firewood and the inflammability of the firewood and the potential of vermin from the firewood, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, secondly, as I understand it, your complaint about the fence is the fact that there's a lock
on it.
Were you offered a key to...
No.
Would that satisfy you if you had a key to be able to get through the fence, to get to your fence and where you want to go?
Yes.
At least from the standpoint of the lock?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you want to hear from Mr. Taylor? And then maybe we can talk about it a little bit more once we hear both sides. And then we can probably answer some of these questions.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Taylor, would you like to comment?
Yes, I have fired.
That's mine.
We have one.
Yes, I have firewood there. I heat my house with wood. Last year I used probably 5 to 6 cord of wood. I have racks there, and there is also a pile of cut logs that I have yet to finish splitting. That's a work in progress all winter long, actually, to heat the house. I try to maintain it neatly. I try to make sure it's not leaning on the fence that divides the two halves of the alley, which encloses the black side of the borough property alley. Their side is totally enclosed and inaccessible, except to them. You know, the predecessors to owning the house, when I purchased it, had the wood-burning stove in. They had put the fence by the curb, you know, by West Washington Avenue, and blocked that off, from what I can gather, some 16, 18 years ago. I know they also stacked firewood in that alley, in that area, prior to me purchasing the house. That was one of the things that made it very desirable to me, you know. I try to make sure I keep it, you know, as clean and neat as you can. And in fact, when I cut and split the wood, I normally put tarps down so I can clean up the wood chips and that type of stuff.
So the wood is on the alleyway by the
brush? Yes, it is. It is on, you know, it is on what I use as the driveway.
Yeah.
Yes.
And nobody uses that for a driveway at the present time, correct?
Other than myself, yeah.
Yeah,
it is inaccessible to Route 57,
right,
as the black side is inaccessible. They have a fence around it.
Right.
They have actually put grass, and they have trees in the what was an alley at one point in time in the past.
So they're using it one way, you're using it a different way.
Correct.
Right, okay.
But they are using it only about 2 feet, you're using about 10. Plus, you're parking a van, your green van has been parked there for at least 6 months and it doesn't move, so nobody else can access the alley.
And therefore, you
cannot pull your car.
Okay, hold on, ma'am. Hold on, before we get too nasty here. Mr. Taylor does have the floor at the moment. We'll give you another chance to have the say.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mr. Cushing?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I have a third vehicle parked in that portion of the driveway. I use it for vacations. My daughter is now driving, so shortly a third vehicle will start being used.
Does it block any access where you park your car?
It is in the half of the alley that is on my property side that I use as a driveway.
Does it block the blacks' access in any way?
No, it does not block the blacks' access at all. They use part of the alley for accessing their parking area behind their garage. Okay. That alley also is a direct egress from my carport and garage. It opens onto that driveway slash alley area.
Mayor, I have no idea.
Okay. Mrs. Black, do you have anything else that you'd like to add? Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you.
And yet things going to the alley that goes this way.
My only other comment was, because he has all this firewood, and he also has a trailer that he brings the firewood in, and this van, we have all this space that he could park his vehicles on, but instead they park to make, to make it difficult for us, because my husband has a big Dodge truck. He's got a swing.
You're talking about just a pickup truck and not like a tractor trailer?
Yeah, it's just a pickup truck. But you have to make a wide turn, which my husband actually ran over a garbage can because it's that tight. We just feel he's using all this space. I don't know how to put it. It's like a waste of space. I mean, they have two bay garages, which instead of parking their vehicles, they store, you know, holiday decorations, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's none of my business. But my son is going to have a truck. The parking situation, it's like everybody wants to park in the same area when there's all this space that they could be using, which they used to use, so I really don't understand why they don't use it anymore.
Okay.
And, you know, with the mounds of firewood, you know, it's 2 feet from my house.
Okay, so we have, you want enforcement take a look at this?
Rudy did. I called Rudy last September, and, nothing's been done.
Well, let me just kind of set the overall stage here. Apparently, this piece of property, which is the alleyway that separates the blacks and the Taylor's house, is not needed for municipal purposes. Mm-hmm. So it is something that would be suitable for the municipality to offer for sale. Municipality has the right to offer for sale property that is not needed by the municipality. And if it is a particular piece of property that doesn't meet the requirements of the zoning in terms of being a developable lot, then the way it's sold is that it's offered for sale to the adjoining property owners. It can be vacated, and depending on some title issues in this case, it may simply pass to the other property owners. And that's normally the way this would be done. If this would be vacated, then assuming there's a little bit of a complicated title issue that I don't need to bore you with, but in all practicality, each neighbor would get one half of the old roadway there, right down to where the access to the road or the alleyway in the back there. So that's number one. And that would just go through the process, and then the Taylors and the Black would each get their half, and their property lines would then meet right in the middle of this old right-of-way. That's issue number one, and that you can do through just the normal process of vacating that portion of the street. The second issue is the issue of, the wood that's out there. It's your property. If you wanted to forbid either or both neighbors from using the property, you could do that because it's your property. Obviously, these neighbors have used the property for a long period of time, and that's been customary for both neighbors to use it. There's no harm to the borough. It's really just a dispute between the two neighbors. The issue of whether it's dangerous or not is a code issue, and that's for the code enforcement officer to take a look at and make a determination. With respect to the gate and the lock, or the fence and the lock, you know, you permitted the fence, presumably if it is interfering with the neighbor, because I think the understanding of council when it permitted the fence was that there would be no harm to anybody else. You were unaware at the time that there might be any objection to it. On the other hand, obviously a simple solution might be Mrs. Black is given a key, she can get access out there. That seems like it might be a very simple, practical solution. The third part of the problem is really the big problem here. It's obviously two neighbors who are not seeing eye to eye in connection with a dispute. That probably needs mediation. That's not for this council to settle. That's a private dispute among two neighbors. My view, folks, is the two of you need to sit down with an impartial mediator. Sometimes the court system will do that. There is, I'm not sure if our court system has a mediation process. But if this were in a lawsuit, what would happen is some third party would sit down with the two of you. There would be negotiations back and forth to try to come out with a win-win situation for both of you. And I know the council doesn't really want to go there in terms of trying to make a...
Well, can you recommend who I can talk to?
Well, I think the manager might be able to check the court system and find out if both parties are willing to do it. Mediation only works if both parties are committed to making it work. I'm sure Mr. Taylor seems like a reasonable man. You folks seem like reasonable people. Maybe you're both willing to sit down and, you know, try to work the thing out in some kind of sensible way. Counsel, if you have better or different ideas from what I just stated.
The only thing that, when Mr. Taylor came here about the fence, do we just assume that there would be a gate with a lock on it also? Because they're two different things, by definition. I don't think we discussed about putting a gate with a lock, did we?
Yeah, I had requested a gate, and the way the gate comes across is parallel, essentially, to Mrs. Black's fence that also closes off her half of the alley. So I'm not closing off any more aspect of the borough property than she has been for however many years that fence has been up.
I don't have locks.
I didn't understand it being any difference between what she already has in presence.
Well, I do apologize for, you know, not remembering about a gate, but I certainly don't recall a lock.
Well, I think the only issue that Mrs. Black has, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you wanted access to the back of your fence should you need to repair it or paint it or anything along those lines.
Or if something blows over there during a storm.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I know that's silly, but, and then the firewood. You know, I try to talk to them. I'm a good person. And I try, and every time I try, it ends up in an argument.
That's why you need
yes. Is this a free service?
I don't know. You'd have to check with the courts. I'm just telling you, you know, how that works.
But, you know, I mean, I've been concerned. Like, at first I thought, you know, you bring in the little firewood, okay. You know, they need their firewood. It's just, it's so much. And they haven't done anything with the original firewood. It's just sat there. It was a year in May. And, I mean, there's going to be mice. There's spider webs all over it. It's...
Well, how about if you come up here and give the manager your phone number or any other contact information? He can get back to you tomorrow with the information on the mediation, and he can look at it a little closer and see if there's anything else.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
The trees that are on the side of the fence there, is that part of the borough property also? Is that part of the alley?
My understanding, Dave, I'm only telling you what I heard here. My understanding is there are trees on the Black side.
That's part of the alley.
Correct, on the alley. That's my understanding. This is why I'm confirming.
That's correct.
And those trees right there, how wide was that alley initially? Was it this wide?
Okay, a little past our deck. Like, actually, they approved our deck to go over borough property a little bit. So all this and over is borough property.
All of this and over.
Yep.
Dave, it's approximately...
actually, my property is only...
approximately 25 feet wide from 57 to the alley.
Or an alternative is we could say that's borough property. We don't want anything on it.
And this
correct.
Is how she used to park there.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Is that it?
Did we can offer to send to Mr. Taylor, too, the information?
Yeah, I have Mr. Taylor's phone.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, ma'am, we didn't get your name.
My name is Sally Spencer. I live at 188 West Washington Avenue.
Thank you.
I just want to know, what is the ordinance for noise after dark? How late can they have, is there noise available?
I believe it's 10 o'clock, isn't it?
Well, I think the, because I've had that same thing, you know, until there's a complaint, then there's an ordinance, meaning this. I mean, it could be 8:45, it's too loud, you call the police. That's a noise problem.
Okay.
Subjective.
Nuisance, what have you.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, anyone else from the audience?
Good evening again.
Rudy Becerra, 191 Broad Street. As we get older, get out of high school and whatever, out of the service, we all look for employment. We look for jobs that we would like, that we're interested in, and that have some security with them. We hope that when we take these jobs that we have the security and the livelihood to exist in our capacity. We all know here that the borough is in serious financial difficulties. There's no doubt about it, and there's no question. We've reduced the number of services and employees. We lost one out of the DPW over a year and a half ago. We lost the court, the police over a year ago, and now we lost the court. I'm questioning why. If your employer, Mr. McDonough, if your employer decides that he no longer or she no longer needs your services, are you expecting to get some type of termination pay for your years of service?
I have had it happen. I've also had it where I got nothing.
Where you got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've lost our identity. We no longer have the police department, no longer have a court. And two very conscientious, dedicated individuals, Lisa Rudd and Ginny Cortese, have been let go from the courts. Ginny is a longtime resident and employee here at the borough. On September 30th of this year, their last employment date, they did receive their vacation pay and their sick pay and their last paycheck. No termination pay. We are a civil service employer. It's a civil service community. They're entitled to termination pay. They were not paid it. Is it fair?
What termination pay are you referring to? Like a separation package?
Yes, separation package. Is it fair that they didn't get any?
Is it in the union contract, are you aware?
No, it's not in the union contract. It's the civil service employment statute.
It's the statute from civil service that says there's termination.
Yeah.
Mr. Cushing, are you aware of anything?
We looked into this and concluded that it wasn't appropriate. And really, Rudy, with all due respect, shouldn't it be the employee that asked for this?
Appropriate? It wasn't appropriate not to pay him?
But, I mean, shouldn't it be the employee that comes before us and raises
I'm embarrassed myself as a resident of this community. And also as a former employee.
Well, the council,
that they didn't get it.
You know, if they want to voluntarily do this, I mean, that's up to them. But, I mean, the answer is we didn't find any legal obligation to do so. And the employee, as far as I know, has not complained. So, I mean, I think it's appropriate to have the employee, if they have to come forward and present it.
I think the two employees are extremely upset, and rightfully so, on their treatment.
Okay, but, I mean, can't they should explain that. I don't, you know. Unless you're their lawyer or something.
I'm not a lawyer.
You're not.
Okay.
And I think it's appropriate that the employee make the complaint if they have a complaint. That's my opinion. You have a right to speak as you see fit.
You're right. And I've read the law, and any lawyer worth half their cent can find that they're entitled to it, and it's just embarrassing to me as a resident of this borough that for $15,000 savings of this year, we put another rural resident out of work, unemployed, and a second employee who was dedicated and did their job well, out of work. And speaking for myself, as I always have, I'm embarrassed in your actions. I'm allowing this to go on.
there anyone else? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
No.
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for somebody to be here. I was here 2 weeks ago. So if you might be I was here in reference to the Glass-Steagall bill. I handed you some information.
Could you give your name and address for the record?
Oh, yes. Carol April from Hackettstown. In regards to this Glass-Steagall, I think I gave you this paper the
yes.
last time, and you were going to photocopy it and give it to every member. And is there anyone that's not aware of what's been happening with the mortgage situation in this country today? I know this is a national problem. This Glass-Steagall is important. Is there anyone here, if we survive this calamity that's happening currently, it will happen again if we do not get the firewall put back into this Glass-Steagall. The derivatives will happen again. The FHA is still giving subprime mortgages. It was a big smoke screen, the Obama financial reform bill. They had to put the blame on somebody, place the blame someplace. Let's blame Wall Street and the mortgage brokers and the real estate. But don't blame the government. Don't blame the FHA. They're still doing it. Did I have this? I have the
yes,
bill.
I recognize that.
It's two things. Well, actually, they say here, short title. These two things were taken out of the Glass-Steagall bill in 1999 when the Clinton administration started giving all of these subprime mortgages. It will happen again if we survive what's happening right now. It's just a terrible mess. And I have asked you folks to simply draw up a resolution, send it to Scott Garrett, that he did not vote for the bailouts. He is in favor of having this put back into the Glass-Steagall. That settles it. In the meantime, in the last 2 weeks, Bonnie Frank and Chris Dodd have come up with another bill that they say is going to prevent the derivatives from never happening again. Are you folks ready to trust those two guys again? I'm not. I would like to say here, I am 75 years old. I may not look that. But I worked for a savings and loan bank 35, 40 years ago when they couldn't do this horrible thing of mingling the monies. Mortgage banking should be mortgage banking, period. They should not have their stuff sold around the world. This derivative thing cannot happen again. If you folks would go ahead and draw up a resolution and get it in there. I'm going to council meetings every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in Scott Garrett's congressional district, because we know he voted against the bailouts. He'll fight to get this bill reinstated, these measures reinstated.
If I may just say, do you work for Scott Garrett at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't know him. I've never seen him.
Okay.
I don't even have a picture. What I know is what I said. I worked for a bank back in the days when they didn't even have collections departments. The head teller used to call up people and say, you're a little late with your mortgage payment. It doesn't seem real, does it? I was in the collections department, the first one instituted in that particular bank, and I was the first person in that department that ever got the federal government to take back an FHA loan. Because I did the paperwork. I dotted every I, crossed every T, and it was the first time we took back a loan from that particular bank. That's why I am so upset about this. This is a horrible situation that's going on in this country. Do any of you have friends or relatives or people that you know who are now in foreclosure? I do. So I'm asking, once again, will you please make up a resolution, please, and get it out to Scott Garrett?
and help to prevent this from ever happening again. Thank you.
Which towns have passed the resolution?
Excuse me?
Which towns have passed the resolution?
Well, at this point, I haven't gone back to every town that I've been. I have one copy of the past resolution. This is from New York. As I'm saying, this is not a local thing. This is the United States of America. This is every state in the country.
No, so, in Scott Garrett's district.
I don't know. I'm not aware of that right now. But could you be the first one? I mean, I'm hoping that in the next couple of months we'll get 100 or 200, as many as we can get.
Yeah, after your last visit here, to the best of my knowledge, no member of council made a request to have a resolution put on the agenda for tonight.
There was no request to hear about.
Well, may I make that request tonight? Would one of you step up and help to not have it happen again? If by some chance that this mess is cleared up for the thousands of people that are involved in an awful situation, we all know should have never happened in the first place. I think everybody understands if you can't afford a house, you shouldn't have a house, but the subprime did this. But there's nothing to prevent it from happening again. Even if they clear up the current mess that's happening, it is currently being done right now as I stand here, as you sit there. It is still being done. FHA is still issuing subprime mortgages.
I have a question, if I might.
Yes.
You said that Scott Garrett is for those two
paragraphs. Yes, this is the firewall, we refer to it. This little bit was taken out of the original.
And he made that comment that he's for that?
He has already stood up on the floor of Congress for this, in favor of having this reimposed, reinstated as part of the bill.
How about if we do this? How about if somebody contacts him to find out exactly what it is that he wants back in there?
What, this is it, sir? This is from the line.
I never got that either. Yeah. What is the federal bill number that you want him to...
Here you go. It's S-2886, Banking Integrity Act of 2009. It was introduced in Congress on December 16, 2009. And it's actually... the Cantwell, McCain, Feingold amendments to reimpose these two particular things back into the Glass-Steagall is still around. They never discarded the whole bill. They just took out the important parts so the money could start being mingled.
I also have a question there, because those two, what you want to put back in is for more regulation.
It's for what the original regulation was,
right,
to limit financial institution affiliation.
Because I'm familiar with that act, and I'm almost positive, I thought that he was for more deregulation, not for regulation.
Yes, Scott Gavin, I think, sir, you may be mistaken.
Okay. Because I'd like to get more information on that.
But...
because I agree, I mean, it really is an important act. This is one of the reasons why
it's very important
now, because as we are not having a strong Glass-Steagall Act. But I thought, for some reason, I thought that he was for more deregulation rather than regulation. I'll check it out soon. I think that really is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I ask you to please check it out, and hopefully you'll decide to make a resolution. And that'll be 2 weeks. I'll be back. Nice seeing you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak during the audience portion? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close.
Sorry.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now we go on to our ordinances. Ordinance 13-2010 for public hearing and adoption.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Cobble?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Kirby?
Yes.
Ordinance 13, 2010, ordinance to amend chapter 85 of Code of Borough of Washington, amending municipal parking lot hours.
Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the public hearing on ordinance 13, 2010.
Move we close the public hearing?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion among council for this? May I have a roll call, please?
Cobble?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Labor?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. And we have an introduction of ordinance 14, 2010.
I move that we introduce ordinance 14, 2010, have clerk read by title only.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this ordinance?
Yeah. If I could, on page, I guess it would be page 2, the back part, section 75-77, the extent of the borough's obligation, the last sentence. The purpose of this article is to permit the borough voluntarily to remove snow and ice from roads without any further obligation on the borough's part to either maintain the roads or to continue snow removal services. I thought that was the whole purpose of this, was for snow removal. Pardon me?
That's a typo.
Okay, why don't you do it now? We'll have the clerk read it by title only.
Oh, okay.
It's correct, as worded.
Right.
It's correct as worded?
Yeah.
If you recall, at the last meeting, the attorney suggested that language be inserted in there that says if 1 year, if 5 years to 10 years down the road, the current borough council decides they no longer want to do it, they can retract.
What?
I'm not sure.
What was your question, Dave?
It's an escape clause, basically.
I understand that. But this was the whole purpose of this ordinance being drafted was that we were going to maintain those private roads that we already maintained. This is saying that next year we could say we're not going to do it.
That's correct.
Not to maintain the roads, plow the roads.
Snow removal and the salt.
The reason that was addressed by the attorney at the time was what if there is no finances for whatever reason and it cannot be financially done? That was the issue.
For these particular roads?
For these particular roads.
But we never established how much it really could cost, right?
Correct.
So.
And you can do as much or as little as you want on the roads. That's your call. What we tried to do is simply reflect what your wishes were, which was snow removal only, no maintenance. That's
I mean, I don't have a problem with the no maintenance, but, you know, for continued snow removal service, I do have a problem.
So after maintaining the roads...
I'm not sure that I understand your complaint, Dave. Let me just understand. We're talking about the last sentence of section 75-77?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, snow removal services, the last three words.
Right.
Or to continue.
Well, you're right. It says the purpose of this article is to permit the borough voluntarily to remove snow and ice from roads without any further obligation on the borough's part either to maintain the roads or to continue snow removal services. So the way it was worded that way, again, it's up to you folks, but... The way it was worded that way is if the council in the future comes along and says, we can't afford to remove snow from borough roads, that council would have the right to rescind this benefit that's being extended to these roads. You don't have to have it in there if you don't want, but that's to give you that, to give a future council an option to do that if they wish. Now, theoretically, legislation can always be changed, okay? Legislature never locks you into a position, for the most part, all right? So if you want it in the future and you decided not to pass this, but we wanted to make it clear to the public that this is a benefit that's being extended and it can be withdrawn in the future.
But it could be withdrawn for any reason, not just we don't have the money, such as the road presents a danger to vehicles
or
something along those lines.
Yeah.
And who makes that determination?
You do.
City council.
Yeah. This legislation is your province exclusively. Anything else?
Have the roll call, please.
Council?
Yes.
Wood?
Yes.
Slava?
Yes.
Quintana?
Yes.
Aiken?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ordinance 14-2010, an ordinance creating Article 12 entitled Maintenance of Third and Private Roads within Chapter 75 of the Code of the Borough of Washington.
Is there any further discussion on that?
Oh, I need to change my vote.
Okay.
I know I shouldn't have talked about it. Slap me on my hand now.
Well, you can indicate for the record, I think once you voted, you voted.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can indicate for the record some comment if you want to make it, to clarify your thinking.
Or could he vote present?
Well, I mean, he's voted.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you wish to make a statement, Dave, to clarify your thinking on the thing, you have every right as a council member to do that.
Well, let's see here.
Oh, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
The manager brought something to my attention.
Yes.
Okay. Do you mind if I explain?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Normally, a person votes. They vote. Okay. However, the manager brought something to my attention that Councilmember Higgins feels that from the standpoint of a potential conflict of interest,
correct,
he probably should not have voted. And accordingly, I think that's very reasonable to say that your vote should be abstained.
Right.
And I think that's a reasonable thing to do for your benefit. Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
I certainly think that's reasonable.
Thank you.
What is the conflict of interest?
Well, a lot of times people don't bring it up. Sometimes it's a family member, sometimes it's something else. I don't know what it is in this case, but, you know, normally if a council member feels they have a conflict of interest, they decline to vote, which is an appropriate thing to do.
So it can be changed.
Yes, in this case, for that reason. I mean, if it, you know, normally you vote, but in this case, the fact you wanted to bring to the council's attention, the public attention, to avoid any type of claim later on that there's
right,
a conflict of interest, that's appropriate to do. I have no problem with that.
Any other discussion? There's a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Council?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yeah.
Higgins?
Abstain.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Slava? Yes. Ordinance 14-2010 will be public hearing will be November 15, 2010, an advertisement of the public hearing in the Star Gazette on October 28, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Reports.
Move we accept the reports?
Second.
Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports this evening?
Just that the grant committee is looking into possibly the American River grant for the Pleasant Valley Dam. I'm working with the manager to determine.
What grant was that? I'm sorry.
For the Pleasant Valley Dam.
Is that the name of the grant?
Oh, the American Rivers Organization has a grant.
Thank you.
That would fund the whole project, hopefully.
Okay.
And so the deadline's in December. I'm working with the committee and the manager to see if we have the necessary funds to pay for the engineer, because he would have to fill out this application, because this is, you know,
okay,
engineering related. So we're looking into that. And I do just want to make it known for the record that we will no longer be having monthly grant meetings due to lack of attendance, you know, between committee members and no one from the public showing up. So we'll just have meetings on an as-needed basis and, you know, work the way we have been via email and phone calls. And then with regards to the grant committee as well, at the end of the year, I'm going to, you know, personally make a recommendation as to whether we should continue to have this committee going forward in 2011. And, you know, because I think maybe we're starting to get too bogged down in committees and, you know, doing work that perhaps employees and professionals should be doing. And so it might be something that all the committees might want to revisit, especially the chairs that might not be here next year, you know, for their committees, whether it's necessary to continue that committee. And I know we go in the next year do that, so I will be recommending.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
Scott, maybe manager would like to update us on the borough garage.
Sure.
Excuse me. There is still two permits that have not passed yet, plumbing. One related to the fire hydrant, which has been addressed. The other is related to the fire suppression system. Verizon will be running the two new dedicated lines for the fire suppression system. I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cold, so I can't speak. Is that better? Sorry. The two dedicated lines for the fire suppression system are being run. Once they are run, the fire plumbing inspector, rather, will pass both permits. I spoke with Verizon today. They're scheduled to run the line out at the end of this week or next week, as their schedule permits. Otherwise, there is probably maybe 15 to 18 punch list items that the engineer has addressed with the contractor and the insurance company that they're working on. Now, the punch list items do not directly have an effect on whether or not we'll get a TCO and when we can start occupying the building. A lot of the punch list items are supplying post-construction documentation for maintenance.
Where is the fire suppression system at? Where's that located? I thought we did a metal building, Perry, so we didn't have to do a fire suppression system.
You always want to have a fire suppression unit, even if it's a metal building, because your materials inside can burn. And not only that, but in the office area, it can also burn. You're going to have oil, and that's stored in there.
The physical unit itself is, if you face the building, in the rear mechanical room is where it's located, the item that needs the dedicated phone lines.
Any other committee reports? Okay, we have no old business. We have new business. Resolution 173, 2010, redemption of tax certificate.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
Algo?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Next one is Resolution 174, 2010, appointing J. Edward Palmer, our municipal judge, for October 1st, 2010 until October 1st, 2013.
So moved. Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain, conflict of interest.
Okay. Is there any reason we can't do the next three together? Now, if we could do Resolutions 175, 176, and 177 together.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. That is a resolution requesting an item. Two of them are requesting an item of revenue, and the other one, all three of them are items of revenue. One is for the ARC, one is for body armor, and one is for clean communities. Any discussion on these?
Who gets clean communities? We do, right?
Yes.
Isn't the
ARC summer
help?
Correct. But we still have to account for it, because even if it's a pass-through, we're still expending it.
I'm sorry, Dave, you had something else?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So moved.
This is the community's grant, okay? Am I correct that a percentage of that is supposed to go to the community to the school? Someone has said that to me, that's what I'm asking.
Not to my knowledge.
Never has.
I'm not aware of any requirement. No.
I think that they could apply for one on their own, could they not?
I mean, the municipality can always work with the schools on a joint venture, if you will, on an activity that those funds can be used on. But I'm not aware of any requirement that they have to get them specifically.
I was told that the borough always donated $1,000 to the school. Each school got $1,000 for the clean community.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll have, if you would, just check with Mr. Rosa.
Yeah, I mean, I can say in last year's budget and this year's budget, there's been no such expenditure.
That's right.
But I'm not aware.
I haven't received any in about 5 years.
We used to hire someone, usually a college student, to work downtown, cleaning the streets. And that stopped, I believe. Can't remember when.
We'll look into it. Any other discussion on this? Roll call, please. I'm sorry. Stedler.
Why are we appointing a municipal judge if we don't have any court?
Okay, if I may, we'll take that question a little bit later on. Roll call, please.
Alvin.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Gisano.
Yes.
Wiggin.
Yes.
Hoyle.
Yes.
Weaver.
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to vouchers.
Move we pay our bills.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the vouchers?
I just had one question. On page 13. What is the budgetary charge off?
It's funny, I circled that one because I knew you guys were going to ask about that. What that is the 37.5. If you remember, council decided to approve $37,500 in the 2010 budget for capital improvements. Remember? That's part of the budget. Now, what this does is this now creates an audit trail saying that we are paying from current money that were budgeted as part of your budget and inserting them in the capital improvement fund. Now we have a paper trail of exactly where that money was, when it was approved, and how it was spent. Now, it hasn't been spent yet. This is just moving it from current to capital in accordance with the budget that council approved.
Okay, so that's why the number doesn't start with a C, because that's coming from...
That's correct, because it was raised in the budget, and now we're transferring it from... Because you approved as part of the capital improvement fund, 37.5. Now we have an audit trail for all the expenditures associated with that money that you approved.
Okay, thank you.
So this makes for just more accountability and transparency with the money.
Correct.
Oh, that's great.
Any other discussion?
Just like a housekeeping item, Rich. On the voucher list we have here, under the account type description, is that automatically put in when you put in like the item description or PO number and it goes boom?
Yes, when you run a report in admins, if you say, give me information on the PO, everything you see there shows up automatically as a default.
Okay.
You can't remove.
If something is entered wrong, is there a flag, like yellow error or anything?
Entered wrong as far as an account
number or PO number?
We have a three-step process for purchase order approval. The department head or supervisor approves it first. The CFO approves it second, certifying that the funds are available and it's being charged to the third account. And then there's administrative approval. So yes, there's three checks and balances before it gets into a PO.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have two questions. Let's see here. On page 7. We got a water bill in the park from July to August. We're in October. Is that a total for July and August through October, or is that just July and August?
That's, if you look at the top, it says 7/10 through 8/9, July
right.
and August.
So we're still going to get more. We're going to get more bills. Is that 1860 included with the numbers in the finance report?
Yes, it is. I have a separate breakdown of the utility expenditures.
A what?
I have a separate breakdown of the utility expenditures for that.
And real quick, on page 13, I'm sorry, page 10. Under the engineering oversight costs there, the second one down.
Yeah.
Was that what we discussed at the last?
Correct.
Is there any way we can see what it was?
Sure.
What he's billing us for?
No, I have the breakdown. It's attached on the original purchase order. If you want, I can scan it in and email it to all council.
See, the more I thought about that, because now we gave a not to exceed, right? Not to exceed.
The original contract was prior to me here. I have no.
Pardon me?
The original contract you awarded was awarded prior to me getting here. I don't recall what that was.
For the oversight, you mean?
Correct.
But didn't it say in there not to exceed?
I'd have to go back and pull that resolution. Again, off the top of my head, I don't know.
I remember off the top of my head.
I think it did.
But even if it did, this is separate, because based on the outcome of our last meeting.
I understand that, but it's still not to exceed, right?
The first part was, correct, and the first part didn't exceed that. Council authorized this at the last meeting.
Pardon me?
Council authorized this at our last meeting. The first part of his contract, if it was a not to exceed, it didn't exceed that amount. This is what council approved. Subsequent.
At the last meeting.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Can you get that for me, though, the first one not to exceed?
Sure. Does there anyone happen to know when that was? Was it 2008?
It was a contract award, 2008, right?
2008? Okay. Yeah. No problem.
It may have been 2007.
All right, I'll phone.
That's right, and didn't start until 2008.
Okay. Do you still want the copy of the?
Yeah, please.
No problem.
Roll call, please.
Alvin?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes, on everything but the fire department. Let's stay on that. Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Okay, recap, Mr. Taylor.
Excuse me.
As best you can.
The RFP, round two, I guess for lack of a phrase, will begin according to the timeline presented to council. As part of that, I will also contact the Warren Harding County Bar Association. We're going to advertise in the League of Municipalities. Councilman Cleaver's request, I will get an updated description of what is included in the, quote, general engineering requirements provided by Suburban Consulting. I will reach out to Mrs. Black and Mr. Taylor, council requested regarding the mediation, and I will email a breakdown of the DPW garage costs for the overages as well as the original resolution.
Council remarks. Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one item tonight. The governor's toolbox or toolkit, did we send that in?
The checklist, you mean?
Or checklist, yeah. For the tool.
Yes, sir. That was sent in.
Okay.
We met all the requirements.
All right, good. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Sure. Let's see here. Is there any time frame when we're going to have the resolution that I asked for in the last meeting about the cyber bullying? Can that be on the next agenda?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you have?
I'll get something. Okay. And for clarification purposes, on the record, I brought up at the last meeting there that the question about the stuff going into the Washington Messenger, I went back and I listened to the audio. The only thing that was talked about going into the Messenger was the garbage collection. There was a vote taken later on in council comments that Councilman Cioni asked to do a workup for the website for the audit. There was nothing discussed about that going into the Messenger. Also, as a matter of record, the letter that was sent to the editor that had to do with a personnel matter, I think that tainted that upcoming evaluation, because the first sentence starts out, "the majority of council." So I don't think that there is even a need to go forward with the review. I had an opportunity to speak with the mayor about that, although it be brief. I just want that on the record.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Nope, that's it.
Mrs. Gleba?
I just have two things. One, just to throw out there to everyone, when I was at the festival, and for businesses perhaps out in the audience, that just the Warren Hills Regional High School has a free service from students with disabilities, and they're always looking for real work for foldings and mailings and packaging. So, you know, I contacted the bid and I contacted our manager. I mean, if we ever have some sort of mailing, we could use these students with, you know, they're partnered with a non-disabled student and to do the work, and they, you know, produce quality work, and it's, you know, it's guaranteed kind of thing. And then our employees could be, you know, doing something else, and we could be, you know, using this type of service. And I shared this with Sandy at the bid also.
What club is that?
You know, I just have the woman just gave me her contact at the high school. I don't know the name of, like, the club. It's, you know, it's a club that, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, it's just like something good to know. And then also the professional evaluation policy, if that could go on the agenda for the next meeting to, like, officially pass the resolution. Like I mentioned earlier, Councilman Higgins and I met, and I'll hand out a copy of the performance evaluation, like the policy that would go into the personnel policy, and then copies for each professional. So we started with the borough attorney, and then from there I cut out things that probably didn't pertain to a particular attorney or professional. Most of them were attorneys. So anyway, if everyone could just look at all of it, if there's anything you want added, removed, or changed, please let me know. It's always going to be an ongoing working document that we obviously could always revise, you know, particularly the forms. But otherwise, then, this will be like the final product, unless I hear from anyone before the next council meeting. I apologize, it's not stapled. I didn't have time. I couldn't get it stapled downstairs. Sorry.
Okay.
Take one, pass it around.
Take one page?
No, take the whole packet. And one other thing, too. I just went through, I looked at everything. The form for the borough attorney, I'm missing the last page, so I'll make a copy of the very last page. So please be aware, you're missing page 3 for the borough attorney. I've got to make a copy of that. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
No idea.
I'm sorry. One other thing with regards to the whole evaluation policy. We did, one thing that we did struggle with and that still is a concern is that obviously some of the things we would all be kind of saying, you know, not applicable or we don't have enough information, because, you know, we feel a lot of it, though, is a more daily contact with the manager. And I realize the manager doesn't appoint the professionals. However, we're struggling with is there some way we could get manager input on his thoughts, or if he could be present in the executive session when council completes this third form. So you'll understand the third form when you read what I gave you. But perhaps, you know, I think in all fairness to everyone, if we had some input, you know, maybe throughout the year they might recognize something that was outstanding or an area that we, you know, we don't know could, you know, is a weakness, you know.
Valentine.
Okay. I don't have any comments, but just to add to what Janine just said about the manager's input, would that be appropriate for the manager to put input into something like this, for that kind of review?
There are some questions on there that, since we're not, I'm not an engineer or an attorney or whatever, you know, are we getting the best, I think one of the questions was, are we getting the best legal advice that we could be getting? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the manager would know that.
Or, well, everything being turned in on time. I mean, we wouldn't know that either, you know.
Okay. If I may, I would feel comfortable answering the generic questions. As far as the opinion, I would try to avoid that because I am not privy to those appointments.
Okay.
I would have no problem.
Well, that type of question.
Yeah, I mean, I would have no problem saying, hey, is professional A providing the product on time?
Right,
that kind of stuff is fine. I just,
that's what we're talking
I prefer
about
to shy
about
away from the opinion stuff, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Mr. Housel?
Two things. Thank you, Scott. November 1st is the next meeting, correct?
No,
third.
The 3rd. Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make that public. November 3rd, that will be Wednesday, not the Tuesday, because of the election day. And then the meeting after that will be on the 15th,
Monday.
The third thing. Janine, you mentioned about the Special Services Club at Warren Hills doing the folding and all that, stuffing of envelopes. Warren Tech also has a printing shop. They may be able to provide us with some printing. I don't know if it's any cheaper than where we are doing our printing now, but Mr. Fortunato is the print shop teacher, and if we contact him, we might be able to get some prices on what we've done so far and compare. Okay? So combining the two, we can give some of our students a real professional experience. And they do a very, they do an excellent job at the tech school with their products. Thank you.
Okay. And I have nothing, but we do have a need for an executive session this evening. So I would accept, I'm sorry, for personnel reasons, so I would accept the motion to go into executive session for that reason.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
After a 5-minute break?
Okay. Comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
In the dim recesses of my mind, I thought there were no wood stoves allowed in the borough. That's dim back there. I'm just curious.
Not that I'm aware of, but we can certainly look into that.
Well, are we allowed to use our fireplaces? I didn't think so.
I thought about outdoor fire pits or indoor?
Indoor.
I'm not aware of any reason why you couldn't, but...
No, I thought it was...
No, I'm not aware.
Don't know where I got that.
Okay.
My suggestion is have your chimney checked by a chimney sweep.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe, is there somewhere that we weren't allowed to use wood for heat our homes. Somewhere I've heard that or remember.
Because
there's a
number.
Well,
quite a few houses. All in favor of the executive set, have a 5-minute break?
So move. Second.
I am going to take care of her during the 5-minute break.
No.